Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus, who lay at his gate covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that we may truly hear, so that our faith will grow and will be more like your Son. And Father, through your word, let us see what our Lord Jesus Christ has done, what he has accomplished for us. And let us have true fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ as we hear your word. And Father, we pray that by your grace, the word, your word, will be preached correctly, and all of us not only hear, but believe and obey, to bring glory and honor to you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you hear from me every time we look at the book of Luke, through this book, we are looking at Jesus Christ accomplishing the kingdom of God. And because he is doing that, he is witnessing the reality of that kingdom. And in our passage for today, he tells us yet another parable. Let me read to you Luke 16, verse 19 through 21. Now there was a rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, joyously living in splendor every day. And a poor man named Lazarus was laid at his gate, covered with sores, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. So we see two characters. One rich man, there's no name for him. The other, the poor man, a beggar named Lazarus. And in verse 19 through 21, we read about their estate in this world, their condition in this world. And they are completely the opposite. The rich man habitually dressed in purple. A purple robe was worn by the royals. Thus in Mark chapter 15 verse 17, because Jesus Christ claims that he is the king, the Roman soldiers mocked him. They dressed him up in purple. And after twisting a crown of thorns, they put it on him. But this rich man, he habitually wearing the purple clothing and the fine linen. So the purple clothing is the outer clothing, and the fine linen is the inner clothing. This rich man wears the best, the inside and the outside. And he joyously lived in splendor, in a luxurious living. Joyously living. In Luke chapter 12, verse 19, the foolish rich man said to himself, if you remember, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Joyously living. That phrase in our passage is the same phrase as the word. It's one word, but phrase in English, as be merry. So this rich man joyously living in splendor. Notice, he did this every single day. Not just special day, special occasion, but every day, it says. You see, this rich man has achieved the highest purpose in this world. This is what the world lives for. And judging from what our passage says, this rich man did not even sin greatly compared to the others in this world. It doesn't talk about how evil he was. Lived a pretty good life according to the standard of this world. He is living his fullest according to this world. But we see another character in our passage, a poor man, a beggar, and his name, Lazarus. The name literally means he is helped by God. Now there's an irony, you know, he has nothing, he's a beggar, and yet his name is, he is helped by God. Lazarus. It is the Greek version of the Hebrew name Eliezer. Or Eliezer. He is the only one in the parables of Jesus Christ. I mean, if you read all the parables of Jesus Christ in the Bible, he's the only one who is named. Thus, some scholars say that our passage is not a parable, but a real story. But that is very much unlikely. Because if you read the parable, there are certain things that it's just not going to happen. You know, it's not going to be when you go to heaven, you could look down to hell and you see, oh, look at him. I remember him in hell. No. So, this is a parable. And some scholars even say that this Lazarus in our passage today is the same person as Lazarus in John chapter 11, who was dead but made alive by Jesus Christ. But in John 11, he had his family. But here, he is a beggar. He has no one. So there is no reason whatsoever for us to see that this is not a parable. Thus, we see our passage as a parable of Jesus Christ. Now, Lazarus, the rich man, covered his body with the purple clothing and fine linen, but Lazarus' body was covered with sores. He laid at the rich man's gate. Maybe he was too weak to move around. And verse 21, and longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. We are reminded here of the prodigal son who was longing to be fed with the food that were consumed by the pigs. And we see here that the dogs were doing better than Lazarus. Matthew 15 verse 27b, but even the dogs feed upon the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Lazarus could not even have that. The dogs were coming and licking his sores. The dogs were unclean animals in the Bible. Thus, Lazarus, he was also unclean. And we're not just talking about, you know, he's not taking, you know, shower. No, ceremonially unclean, which means Lazarus was not welcome in the temple. So today's language, Lazarus was not even allowed to come and worship God. So, the rich man and the beggar Lazarus, two completely different situations they were facing in this world. And according to the understanding of the Pharisees and understanding of this world, the rich man was blessed by God, and Lazarus was cursed by God. Thus, they have concluded that the rich man obeyed God, and Lazarus is the sinner. See, this is the understanding of this sinful world. And this is the result if one does not understand the Old Testament according to the will of God. We are reminded of John chapter 9, in which we read about Jesus healing the blind. There, and his disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. So when people see someone in misery, they think that that person did something wrong. He sinned greatly, and God is cursing him. And if someone is living rich, they think that God blessed that person. But see, that is not the case. And you have to start thinking according to the Bible. Now from verse 22 through 26, we read about the situations that these two find after their death. But first, we're going to read up to verse 24. Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. You see, both beggar and the rich man died. And this is something you should think about. All has to die. Maybe you young people, you don't think about death that much. But if you go ask your mom and dad or your grandpa and grandma, they will all tell you how life goes so fast. Guaranteed, they will tell you that it is so fast. And you will die. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, you're in big trouble. See, that this is the result of sin. But we must remember that Jesus Christ has accomplished the kingdom of God, which means the world has ended in one sense. Which means that the world has been put upside down. And that reality is witnessed in this parable. Lazarus, who was considered to be cursed by God, went to heaven. And the rich man, who was considered to be blessed by God, he went to hell. Who is truly blessed? Lazarus died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Now this phrase, Abraham's bosom, there is no one who questions that Abraham went to the kingdom of God. So to go to the Abraham's bosom means that one is now in intimate relationship with Abraham. Thus, one went to where Abraham is, which is the kingdom of God. And also Abraham's bosom points to the banquet of heaven. John chapter 13 verse 23, there was reclining on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. This was a picture of the Last Supper. And Matthew 8 verse 11, I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So we could say that Lazarus is reclining at the table of the heavenly banquet on Abraham's bosom. But rich man, he is in Hades, being in torment. Hades, the Old Testament version of hell. Now, you have to understand this. See, this is truly shocking to the Jews at the time, and it is also shocking to this world. The rich man, who was considered to be blessed by God, so lived a life of luxury, went to hell. This is shocking. The world refused to hear us as soon as they hear this. But God's word continues. Verse 24, and he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on us, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. It's pretty comical here, because this rich man, he misunderstands. Even in hell, he misunderstands. Father Abraham, he calls. He needs to understand that what is true in this world does not carry over to hell. Abraham is no longer his father. Physically, he could claim Abraham as his father when he was living here. But he goes to hell and he still calls Abraham, Father Abraham. And even in hell, this rich man thinks of Lazarus as his servant who does what he desires him to do. But those days are over. And listen to what this rich man says. You know, he does not say, take me to heaven. I mean, God forbid I will find myself in hell, but if I am there, I will say, take me to heaven. But no, he desires Lazarus to come to hell to relieve his pains. The sinners who are in hell right now, they really don't want to go to heaven. But they hate the torment. So they want to get out of there, but they really don't want to go to heaven. Because go to heaven means to love Jesus Christ and admitting that they are sinners, which means that they have to repent. They will never do that. They rather stay in hell. But see, torment is too great, so they wish someone can relieve that pain, but it's not about they wanting to go to heaven. If there's no pain in heaven, they'll be glad to stay in hell. I mean, there's no pain in hell. They will be glad to stay in hell. So many people who go to church, to them, salvation is just not going to hell. When they think about salvation, that's the point. I'm not going to hell. Phew! But that's not how the Bible teaches what our salvation is. It is not so much, according to these people, it is not so much that they want to be with God, but it is all about not going to hell to be tormented forever. So when they say, I'm saved, it's not like looking forward to being with Jesus and just sharing that love with Him forever and ever, but to them, I'm saved means, oh, I'm not going to hell. That's it. That's all it is. They do not mind going to hell, like I say, if there is no torment in hell. The truth is that they do not love Jesus Christ or being with Jesus Christ or obeying Jesus Christ. Those things are worse for them. See, focus is not Jesus Christ, even to those people who come to church. It's not loving Jesus Christ. Focus is not Jesus Christ. And the sinners, they hate being tormented forever. So the rich man says that Lazarus may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off his tongue. And as you know, his request is denied. I mean, this rich man did not even give Lazarus the crumbs which were falling from his table. Now, not even water drop from a finger is given to him. And he says, I am in agony in this flame, he says. You see, hell is eternal fire. And I believe this is the Holy Spirit as the eternal judge. God is the consuming fire, the Bible tells us. Isaiah 66, verse 24b, for their worm will not die, and their fire will not be quenched, and they will be in abhorrence to all mankind. Matthew 25 verse 41, then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 20 verse 15, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You see, the rich man's power, his wealth, cannot change his situation in hell. The world is put forever upside down. Verse 25, but Abraham said, child, remember that during your life you received your good things, And likewise, Lazarus, bad things, but now he is being comforted here and you are in agony. The world has been put upside down by what Jesus Christ has accomplished. And the judgment after death is forever, verse 26. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish it to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. Matthew 25, verse 46. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Jude chapter 1, verse 7. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they, in the same way as these, indulged in gross immorality, and when after strange flesh are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. It's an example to show all of us what will happen if you don't trust Christ. We continue Luke chapter 16, verse 27 through 31. And he said, "Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment." But Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." But he said, "No, Father Abraham. But if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." But he said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead." The rich man, even in hell, not only is still misunderstanding things, but he does not know the ways of God. He asked Abraham to send Lazarus to his five brothers. Perhaps rich man wanted Lazarus to appear in their dreams or in vision so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Again, it is not so much that they go to heaven but not come to hell, the place of torment. Some would argue that these things are the same, but they are not. Let me put it this way. Are you forcing yourselves to obey God because you do not want to go to hell? Or are you obeying God because you love Him and it will be your pleasure to do so? It's not the same. You might do it, and outwardly, you doing it might look the same, but one, you are forcing yourself to obey because you are afraid of hell, and the other, you love God and you want to obey Him because you're in love with God. How can we say these are the same? Which way are you? Yeah. It is really different. Now, Abraham says to this rich man, "They have your brothers, five brothers, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." In other words, they have the Old Testament. They have the Bible. This is the method of God. The Word of God is enough. This is the will of God. This is God's method. But the rich man continues to talk the methods that are desired by the sinful man of this sinful world. If someone goes to them from dead, they will repent. The rich man is in fact saying that the word of God is not enough. Why would he say that? Because he himself did not listen to the word of God when he was alive. He believes that the word of God was not enough for him. So send them, he says, send to my brothers signs and miracles, and they will repent. But that is not the methods of God. Luke chapter 11, verse 29, as the crowds were increasing, Jesus began to say, this generation is a wicked generation. It seeks for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah, the cross. See, you see, God's method is the work of the Holy Spirit through God's Word. That's God's design, and you desiring any other method, it's just not going to work. People, you know, in the Old Testament, Israelites, they saw so many miracles, and yet they never trusted God. And that's exactly what's going to happen. If people, they say, oh, I saw it and I believe. They will seek the ways of the world. Because that's not how the blessings, the grace of God comes to us. Not through miracles, not through signs, but through God's word. Faith comes from hearing His word. God requires faith. Why faith? Because it is not seen. And you are saying, I believe because I saw. Well, then it's not faith. Why is it faith? Because you do not see it, but you believe. Romans chapter 8, verse 24, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? The same is true of faith. It is not that the sinners do not believe because God did not show them visibly. No, even if God shows them, they will never believe unless the Holy Spirit works in them through God's word. See, God Himself has come in the person to them. I mean, how much more do you want God to show you? He came to you. He's standing right in front of you. That's what Jesus was doing, in front of Pharisees. They're seeing God. And yet they did not believe. The whole Old Testament confirms this. The Israelites have seen numerous miracles by God, but they never believed in God. Not that they did not believe the existence of God. Of course they did. But they didn't believe God, meaning that they never trusted God. They never entrusted themselves to God. Just like so many people who go to church, they don't trust God. God says, don't worry. But they don't trust Him. They keep on worrying. Let's say you have a three-year-old boy. And you say to him, hey, tomorrow we're going to go to Disneyland. And the boy hears that, go, whoa, okay. 1 hour later, he comes to you again, say, are you sure we're going to Disneyland? And you go, yeah, we are. Don't worry. We are going. 1 hour later, he comes again. Are we really going to Disneyland? You say, yeah. Let's say your boy does that about 10 times. You will be irritated. And that's exactly what you do to God. God said it. And you go, are you sure? How many times do you do that to God? Thank God he's a patient God, that he has so much grace. Otherwise, I'd be like, pah, get away. But see, I'm not your God. Thank God that is so. Trust him. And what are we trusting? We're trusting his word. And that's exactly how God wants it. He says, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. If they do not believe in the word of God, then even if someone rises from the dead, they will not believe. Just like they did not believe and still do not believe in Jesus Christ, who was resurrected from the dead. They still don't believe. God's method is by the word of God. And this is your reality. You have believed the word. This is how you have been saved. Exactly according to the Bible. Now, before I end this, you have to be very, very clear. There is one thing that you and I must be very clear here. The Bible never says that the reason why the rich man went to hell is that he was rich. Bible never says that. And from the whole Bible, we are able to conclude that it is not Lazarus being poor enabled him to go to heaven. And we're going to deal with Jesus saying that it's harder for a rich man to go to heaven than the what's that animal? Can't think of. Camel to go through the eyes of the needle. So many people hear that and say, oh, then it's so hard for rich men, so it is easy for poor men. No, that's not what God is saying there. If it is hard for rich men, then it will be harder for poor men. So the disciple says, oh, then who is able to go? Jesus says, it's impossible for men, but possible for God. So get rid of this idea that rich is bad and poor is good. Not biblical. There is no one righteous, not even one. Whether you're rich or poor, you are evil. That's what the Bible is saying. But so many people think that rich is bad and poor is somehow good. Why? And where does it you find that truth in the Bible? Well, in the Old Testament, of course. Because in the Old Testament, God's blessing was expressed in earthly things. So, if you're good to God, then of course you're going to be rich. But those days are gone. So, the Bible never says that the rich is bad and the poor is good. You hear this stupid thing in the politics today. And don't say I'm for rich men. I think they're evil too. Just like the poor. No one is righteous. That's what the Bible says. Then why we say one is good and one is bad? That's the world trying to fool you. Bible never says the rich is bad and the poor is good. Even Abraham was rich. He went to heaven. Why is that then?
if what they say is true.
To make a lot of money in and of itself is not bad, unless you make it through evil ways. It is all about how you use it after you make money. Bible is very clear. There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who does good, not even one. Whether you are rich or poor, it really does not matter. No one is righteous. And just because you are rich does not mean that you are blessed by God. And just because you are poor does not mean that you're cursed by God. Understand? Don't think like the world. The true wealth is the wealth of heaven. The earthly wealth is a common grace. Whether you're Christian or not, God gives to you earthly wealth. Has nothing to do with Christianity. Actually, like I always said, statistically speaking, you have better chance being rich if you are non-Christian. So if that's what you're looking for, Christianity has nothing to do with it. Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and turmoil with it. The reason why the rich man went to hell is that he did not believe the word of God, the Moses and the prophets, and that he did not obey the word of God, and as he said, he did not repent of his sins. That is why he went to hell. Verse 30b, if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent, meaning he did not. In the Old Testament, the righteous life is described as helping the poor. To be gracious to poor is to be honor God. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 31, he who oppresses the poor taunts his maker, but he who is gracious to the needy honors God. To say that one honors God but not gracious to poor is to lie. The rich man, by not helping the poor, did not obey God's word. And he did not repent of his sins. And if he had understood Moses and the prophets, then he would have been led to Jesus Christ and believed in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, therefore the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith. Only Jesus Christ has obeyed God perfectly. Only Jesus Christ gave all he had, even his life, to the poor. You and I, the poor sinners. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Do you understand? We're talking about spiritual poverty. Jesus lived for the poor. He lived for you. And he lived the life of sufferings and persecutions, and the Bible is very clear that he did all that for us and instead of us and in our places. You and I, we must believe and we must repent of our sins of not obeying him, not living for the poor. Faith and repentance. This is Christian life. This is what our life is all about. And if one or the other is missing, then it is not Christian life at all. Let me conclude. Any of you still think that you deserve God's blessings because you are better than the most other people? And when you say God's blessing, you mean worldly blessings? Do you get jealous and angry when you see someone who you think is not obeying God as much as you are, but who are much wealthy, worldly than you. That's the world. They're so jealous of our rich people. Are they better than rich people? I don't think so. They're about the same. And when they have money, I don't think they will do what they accuse rich people not doing. We're all sinners who deserve to go to hell. Left alone, we're evil people. Don't be jealous. Because you are truly blessed with the true blessings, blessings of heaven. It's okay not having the worldly things. And it's okay to have those too. I mean, it doesn't matter. That is not our focus. If God gives us, then we enjoy it. And if He doesn't give us, then we still enjoy our life. But we do not live for that. The true blessings is to possess Jesus Christ, to possess heaven. Jesus, who did not sin, received the eternal judgment of God on the cross. But He was never angry. And He was never jealous about all the true blessings that you and I have when all we did was sin. You and I are invited to live His life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, always remember. And this is my final point. Always remember. No matter what the worldly situations that you find yourselves in, even when you are poor and sick, you are not cursed by God. And you could name other bad situations. Truly, truly, the situation is so hard to endure. It doesn't mean you are cursed by God. In fact, no matter what kind of life we might live, when you and I die, we will go to heaven. Which means we are blessed. That's what it means. And when you get there, you will rejoice forever and ever. Psalm 17 verse 15, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied with your likeness when I awake. That's a beautiful verse. In righteousness, I will behold the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I will be satisfied because I'm looking at my Lord Jesus Christ. That's our confession. Brothers and sisters, especially you young people, it's okay not to have much things. It's okay if you're sick. It's okay. Because worst thing that would happen in this life, they say, is that you will die. But as soon as you die, like this psalm says, you will behold the face of Jesus Christ. And you will know, as soon as you see His face, everything is okay. No, it's better than okay. No matter what, you and I are truly blessed by God because of Jesus Christ. God sent His Spirit to us, and the Holy Spirit worked in us with God's Word to recreate us in the image of Jesus Christ. And He gave us faith, and He led us and still leads us to repent of our sins. And this is our reality in Jesus Christ. Yes, we don't live perfect life. Yes, we sin. But God is with us. And He leads us to His righteousness. And one day, you will get there. Perfect righteousness. That's how you're going to be. So rejoice. No matter what situation you find yourself in. Yes, there's so much pain in some of you, I know. And that pain altogether throughout my 40 years of ministry, it pains me greatly. And thank God, as a pastor, God gave me this heart of pastor that I just cannot ignore the pain when I hear it. But I know it's okay. It is truly okay. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Because of Jesus Christ and what He has done, it really doesn't matter whether we have so much or we have nothing. Whether we are so healthy or we are so sick. We're truly blessed. Oh Father, let us give You all the glory, honor, and power and rejoice before You. For You have done wonderful things for us and gave us everything, even Your life. So Father, whether we suffer, whether we are persecuted, whether we are in pain and agony and whatever it might be, we have every reason to rejoice. So Father, let us rejoice in Christ now and forever. We thank You and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.